the 43-year-old soap opera One Life to Live will air its last episode on ABC today. Beginning next week, General Hospital will be the only remaining daytime drama on the network. Bradford Anderson, an actor on General Hospital, will make an appearance at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers tomorrow as part of the 4029 Northwest Arkansas Women's Living Expo. I spoke to Bradford on the phone yesterday, and he began the conversation by telling me how he became involved in acting.
I'm from a very small town in central New Hampshire, but it happens to be a tourist area because of the lakes and mountains. It's pretty gorgeous up there. And so there was a summer theater that came and that was in residence at my high school, and they were all like college-aged kids that would come up and do summer stock for the summer. And I got involved in them when I was like 15 years old, and they were the coolest people I'd ever met. So, and I didn't know you could go to college for that kind of thing, and I had no other skills, so I ended up going to college for theater in New York, and I majored in musical theater. I was a singer and dancer as well, and so I worked in New York for a few years, and then got an opportunity to move out west, and so tried that, and within the first year, I was on GH. So it kind of just fell into place for me. I was very, very lucky.
You've been on General Hospital for about 5 years now. And I remember when your character debuted on screen, I thought he was one of the most fascinating characters I had seen in a long time, because you have kind of these cookie cutter male roles. You know, you have your dashing businessman or your arrogant, you know, doctor or bad boy with a good heart. And it's not that Spinelli isn't charming in his own unique way, but they dropped him and they're like, here's this computer hacker. I mean,
right.
How did that? I mean, did you know that was the role you were trying out for? And I mean, were you surprised that a computer hacker was a role they were looking for a soap opera?
I've had a lot of people ask me if I wanted to work in soaps, and you know, as an actor, you work anywhere they'll have you. You know, so, but I never in a million years imagined that I would be, that my type would be useful on a soap opera. You know, I just, it's not. You know, I don't generally get hired for my looks. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to get down on myself.
Oh,
but,
no.
You know, it's not something I, you know, and in my opinion, not knowing much about daytime dramas, I assumed that they were only for pretty people. And, you know, like I didn't know. And so when I got an audition for this kind of quirky character, you know, I was surprised that there would be a character like that at all. When I read the script, I was like, I don't know how this is going to work, because it was really out there, and you know, just the dialogue itself was strange. You know, I had a tough time trying to say it, and you know, and it, there's, you know, the character spoke in metaphor and with all this kind of crazy vocabulary. You know, you have to really listen to it to understand it. It's not something that you just kind of pick up. So you know, I wasn't sure how it would go over, if I would just look like an idiot, but I tried my best to find some truth to the character, not just make him a caricature. And luckily, they paired me with the character of Jason, who Steve Burton plays, and he's an incredible actor. And what ended up happening is that I kind of became his sidekick, and he's an incredible comedic straight man. People began to like my character because the way I affected him, I think, and some of his reactions to my nonsense would be what stole the scene. What, you know, it wasn't just my nonsense; it was how he'd react. And so that's what kind of made me useful at the beginning. And that's, you know, because I was only supposed to be on for a couple months. I was supposed to die in a car explosion. But the great thing about our show is that, you know, if people do a good job, they, you know, it's a soap, so they can basically make sense of anything. So they find a way to keep them around. If you know, if you do good work and you get along with everybody, they reward, you know, hard work, and I really appreciate that.
Coming from theater, it seems like daytime is a completely different animal. What is it that you like about this medium?
I think in terms of going from theater to television or film, daytime is actually, I mean, there are not too many direct parallels, but it feels as live as you can get. Like, I, you know, sitcoms, multi-camera versus single camera, you know, multi-camera sitcoms, sometimes they take tape in front of an audience. But with multi-cameras, with more than one camera, you don't need to have as many takes. you know, with a film set or like a show like Grey's Anatomy where they shoot just on one camera on film, they have to do so many different takes to get different angles. With us, we have multiple cameras on us, so we get maybe one or two takes. And we don't do a lot of rehearsal because we have basically, you know, we basically shoot the equivalent of one show or more each day, so we don't have a lot of time. So we basically have one or two takes to do sometimes a very difficult scene. So it feels very spontaneous. It feels very live. And I like that kind of feeling of, you know, you're jumping off into something. You don't quite know how it's going to go, but, you know, you trust your acting partner and you trust the crew around you to do something great with it. And that's what we attempt to do. And sometimes we do really well and sometimes we can do better. But, you know, that's kind of the fun of it, is that, you know, we do 40, 50 scenes a day, and, you know, you kind of just go for it, see what happens. And so it's pretty, that's pretty exciting. Like when I go on a film set or do a guest spot on another TV show or whatever, the pace of it is so much slower than what we do that, you know, I prefer this because it just goes so fast and you have to make a big choice and just go for it.
And you mentioned trusting your acting partner, and for a long time now on screen, your acting partner has been Kirsten Storms, who plays Maxie Jones, but another actress has been filling in for her for a little bit now. What is it like working with someone new after having been so used to spending, you know, long days on set with this other person?
We got lucky in Jen Lilly. She's been incredible. She's done such a good job. And, but at first, you know, the two characters, Spinelli and Maxie, have quite the history in. And trying to, you know, when you play that with the actress that you did all the history stuff with, you don't need to play the history because it's just there. But when there's someone else, it does affect it a bit. And you feel like, oh, wait, now I need to, you know, because maybe she doesn't know about that history, so it's not ingrained in what she does. So basically what I figured out is that I kind of had to play my reactions to her had to be as if it was a new character because I didn't want to project anything onto her performance. And that's a lesson I had to learn. And it became much more interesting that way, too. And it took away my expectations of what Maxie could or should be. It was just, I almost treated her like a new girl, which was kind of fun, you know? And I think that was the only way to do it, because otherwise you're kind of pigeonholing the new actress into expecting her to do something that someone else did that she couldn't possibly do. So you have to kind of treat it as a new thing. And I know that's sometimes hard for the audience, but as an actor, it was kind of a fun exercise to let go of those perceptions and just kind of be present with this new person.
And you guys work such long hours. So how is it that you find time to make public appearances like the one you're doing here for the Women's Expo?
Well, luckily we don't work on weekends. So,
well, there you go.
We don't, you know, we film on a soundstage, so we don't have to, we don't go on location. They did back in the old days when there was, you know, when soaps were number one on TV and the budgets were overflowing. I think our show has shot in Europe in the past and, you know, just done some really incredible locations. But as with everything these days, budgets are tighter. And so we don't do that anymore. So, you know, we basically it's like a day job. We go in, you know, they start shooting at around 8 and we're done by 5 or 6. And, you know, for me, I'm only there when they need me. So I'm not necessarily, you know, I may only be there a couple times a week. So, you know, and when you have some advanced knowledge, you can plan things. For this, you know, I'm actually working tomorrow morning. I'm working Friday morning and then getting on a plane in the afternoon getting to Fayetteville, you know, late tomorrow night. And then, you know, I have our event from 1 to 3 in Rogers and then jumping on a little plane to Albany, Georgia. So it'll be quite the weekend. But I love doing these things because, as I said before, our audience, it's so unique to daytime. Our audience spends 5 days a week with us. There's a familiarity there that it doesn't exist in any other genre. And there is, you know, it's such a generational show, too. So our, you know, some of our fans, you know, not only is the show special to them, but it reminds them of their grandmother or their mother. You know, there's something else in it that makes it special to them. And, you know, part of the fun is just hearing, you know, the stories of like, oh, I started watching GH in, you know, 1973 with my so-and-so. And, you know, everyone has, and everyone loves to tell that story. And it's always interesting to hear because you realize, you know, if you spend 5 days a week watching a show, that's a lot of time. You know, it's a part of your life. And so, you know, we're so, and, you know, we're incredibly grateful that they devote that much time to us. And, you know, so to be able to go out and you know, come to places like Arkansas that I, you know, I wouldn't pass through necessarily on in my regular travels, to come and meet the people in Arkansas that watch our show, it, you know, it's incredibly special. And, you know, everyone is passionate about their storylines, and they ask good questions, and they're just, you know, I adore our fans. And anytime I get to visit with them, I'm first in line.
And I know a lot of fans are a little bit bummed with a couple of shows being canceled within the last year. You know, starting next week, you guys are going to be the only one on ABC every day. So, yeah. I mean, I know how fans are reacting, but is there, I mean, what's the talk amongst actors and people kind of behind the scenes of what's happening in daytime in general?
I mean, you know, it's devastating in a way, you know, I'm in a lot of ways. You know, there's so many people, not just the cast that you see, you know, that people see. There's so many people in the crew and in administration and so many different departments that, you know, this is the end of the job for them, too. So it's just sad. It's sad for that reason alone. But then you think of the genre in a larger sense and, you know, and you see the shows that are taking over for these shows that are more informational and talk shows. And, you know, you understand in a sense because scripted television is expensive and, you know, actors can be expensive and writers are expensive and sets are expensive. And, you know, so, you know, it's cheaper to do talk shows. But you wonder at what point, you know, there's still going to be a hunger for scripted television. And so maybe that's going to move to the internet, or I mean, probably all television is going to move to the internet. But it's sad because it's been such a part of, like, you know, of our culture for a long time. And, you know, as an actor, it's a lot of jobs that are no longer available. You know, which is scary. You know, you look at actors in L.A. or New York, and you look at their resume, and chances are they've worked on a soap opera at some point, whether it was as a day player or as a contract character or background or whatever. You know, it's a lot, you know, the casts are big, and they require a background, and they require day players, and they're, you know, it's a lot of work for a lot of people. And, you know, you're starting to see a lot of movie stars do TV because those are the best jobs, and you know, the amount of work that is available to actors is shrinking. And, you know, the demise of daytime is part of that. And but, you know, we're lucky that we're still in the air and we're getting, you know, we're getting some transplants from One Life to Live, some fantastic actors and fantastic people that are going to come and bolster our show. And, you know, so we're not dead yet. It's, you know, we always talk in negative terms about the overall picture. But, you know, at the same time, we are lucky that we still have, you know, a few shows left, and we're going to try to make them the best we can with the time we have left.
And you mentioned some transplants from One Life to Live. You're also, last week, you guys got a new head writer, an executive producer. What is that like when you get new people behind the scenes?
Well, I think there's a bit of a getting to know you period. You know, I've worked with the executive producer before. We did a crossover webisode series. He directed all those, so I get to work with Frank before, so I have a bit of a relationship with him, but I don't know our new head writer. I've heard only great things about him, but I don't know, and you know, I don't know what his knowledge of my character is, or you know, like I he was a pretty busy guy in One Life to Live. I can't imagine he watched GH every day, so you know, you got to allow them to settle in a bit because writing is the toughest job for a soap. I think it's just so much material. You know, we're trying to look at the situation as, you know, it's sad. Well, first of all, it's sad when you lose people that you respect. You know, our executive producer before, Jill, you know, she was the executive producer the whole time I was there, and she was, you know, she was like family to me. So to see her go is sad. But, you know, trying to look at it, you know, in as positive light as you can, you know, the network, if we were going to be canceled in the next month or two or whatever, the network probably wouldn't have made a change. You know, this is obviously what they think is best for the show. And so if they want the show to, you know, and if they want to keep the show on the air. They want it the best it can be. So, you know, we're trying to look at this as a hopeful turn. And both Frank and Ron are, you know, the executive producer and the writer are just talented guys. You can tell that from their work on One Life. And Frank is a very hands-on feel, which is different from our former executive producer. He's on the stage with us at every moment, kind of tweaking, and he takes a very, he's a hands-on approach to the actual scenes that are being shot. And so that is new for us, but it's exciting, and everyone's on their toes because you get a new boss and you want to do your best. And so, we just finished the first week, and, there's a good feeling of hope. He's got a very energetic presence, and we know he's got our back, and, you know, so it's a strange transition, but, you know, it's great so far.
Bradford Anderson is an actor on General Hospital, and we spoke on the phone yesterday. Bradford will speak at the John Q. Hammond Center in Rogers tomorrow as part of the 4029 Northwest Arkansas Women's Living Expo. More information is available at womenslivingexpo.com/NWA 2012.